Well, this is our last message for this particular series. We've been talking about, the series name is actually called Creativity, and it's been all about creation. I took everyone on a journey to outer space, so to speak, through pictures and through some audio. And then the following week, we had taken people on a journey inward at the human body just to superficially look at how the human body works and just how complex a system it is. And so today, I want to speak the name of the title. This is part three and the final message in this series. It's called Cause and Effect. Now, my objective for today is to talk about evolution, but not whether or not it's true or not. I mean, I don't know that anyone in here actually believes in evolution. And hopefully by the end of this message, you wouldn't anyway. But hopefully by the end of the past two messages, you should see that the universe is so expansive and the human body by itself, not counting the rest of the critters, the human body by itself is so complex that there had to be a mind behind it. But evolution is out there, so I have to address it. So anyway, I want to begin by reading a scripture out of 1 John chapter 2, and we're going to begin with verse 18. John, as you know, is an apostle, very closely associated with Jesus Christ himself, and even a cousin. But he's worried. He writes, "Little children, it is the last time, the last days." That's what he's talking about. It is the last days, even in John's time. "And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us." Manifest means revealed. They might be revealed. "But ye have an unction," and I put in parentheses anointing. That's an anointing from the Holy Ghost. "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth." And here's our key verse, verse 22. "Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth Father and the Son." And so that right there is my platform for the topic of today in regards to evolution. Evolution is more than just a theory. Everybody says the theory of evolution or the theory of creation kind of rolls off the tongue and it sounds nice, but it's more than just a theory. If you want to deny the existence of God and the existence of Jesus Christ, or even at least deny that he was the Messiah, I mean, a lot of people acknowledge he lived. I mean, history acknowledges that he lived. But many people don't accept him as the Messiah, as the Son of the Father. So if you choose to deny him, it's built into us that we basically have to latch on some other belief system. We call it a worldview. A worldview that takes us into a belief system that explains everything. Therefore, people have come up with the theory of evolution. You see, evolution is not new. The theory by itself is not new. Even as far back as close to 700 years before Christ, there were people questioning the fact that we had to come from somewhere else, even that far back. And so if you want to deny Jesus Christ and deny the Father, what do you latch on to? Well, atheism might be one. You just simply say there is no God. Now, in order to know this for fact, You yourself have to know everything in the universe to know that there is no God. So that, I call people when they say they're atheists, they're really not. Because if you do a circle, I think I've done this before, if you do a circle, and let's say that circle represents all of the knowledge in the entire world, or universe for that matter, how much in that little circle represents your knowledge? Any one person's knowledge. Well, it would have to be smaller, wouldn't it? Obviously, I don't know everything in the world. So therefore, the best I could say is that I don't know that there's a God. That's called an agnostic. I just don't know. Now, in here, we pretty much have come to that conclusion, but I'm talking about people who want to deny the Father, deny the Son. What do they latch on to? Atheism? Agnosticism? Well, and then you come up with other theories to explain how and why we got here. And I have an answer for your question, Andy, about if we evolved from monkeys, why do we still have monkeys? I have an answer for that. I researched that. I'm kind of building up with what I want to talk about. So in order to latch on these things, you too must have faith. Do we all agree? To believe in evolution, you have to believe that everything that you see today evolved from something. Now, the explanation behind the theory of evolution is that a simple life form, and then next question is, well, how simple? But a simple life form somehow, there you go, there's that unknown part, somehow randomly mutated into a more complex life form that was better and improved. Maybe that's redundant, but new and improved. So you take a little creature, whatever that creature is, and through some random mutation and environmental properties acting on this life form, it evolves into something new and improved. That's the theory of evolution. And this happens in what's called transitional forms. In other words, supposedly a human being, such as myself, transferred from some lower life form, whatever that might be. A monkey, perhaps, is what they're saying. And so there's a transition from that to a higher life form. Somehow that transition had to occur. Well, then you have the monkeys. Well, then they had to have a transition. And then further back you go, transition, 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 until you get back to the point in time to where all life started from a little tiny amoeba in a blob of who knows what kind of mixture, that somehow that spark of life that eventually evolved into fish, which then eventually evolved into legs where they could walk on land, and you know the story. Well, that's a leap of irrational faith. See, I am a creationist. I believe in creation. These are broad terms to discuss types of belief system. The belief system for evolutionists is called naturalism. Now, there's not going to be a pop quiz on this, but just know that if you're talking to somebody who says they're a naturalist, you know they don't believe in God. In other words, nature is all there is. Now, I'm a creationist. That's an opposite of a naturalist. I believe in creation. This man here, Charles Darwin, everybody knows his name probably, but you may not know what he looks like. Back in the 1850s, he wrote two important works. One of the first works he does is called, it was his book, On the Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection. And then he wrote another book called The Preservation of Favored Races and the Struggle for Life. This is somewhere around the 1850s. Now, he knows that even back then that fossils existed. He knew that. Today, there are over 100 million, I didn't know this number, 100 million identified and cataloged fossils in all the world's museums. Now, if the theory of evolution was valid, if it was valid, then we should be able to find and locate these transitional forms. Remember I was telling you that you had to go from something simple to something a little more complex. These are transitional forms. Now, you see the diagrams all the time. You see the diagrams with the little monkey or ape or whatnot. Eventually, he starts to stand a little more upright. You know, I've seen that diagram, especially when I was searching this through the internet. I was finding that diagram all over the place. But eventually becomes a man, you know. So those are the transitional forms. And another way of describing these transitional forms is called the missing link. Now, everybody's heard about the missing link. Now, where do we get the missing link? See, Charles Darwin had a problem. First of all, this man, and probably the reason he's been given so much credit is because he was the one who was the most vocal, especially in the U.S. People remember the, what's it called? This, I had it right on the tip of my tongue, the trial. Yeah, but it was Stotes-Schofield something trial. It's when that famous lawyer and then Charles Darwin took stand, and there was this great debate, this argument and stuff. Anyway, he's been given so much prominence, but he himself acknowledged that in order for evolution to be true, and I give him credit for this, in order for it to be true, he acknowledged that there had to be evidence of these transitional forms. Now, in order to have these transitional forms, obviously you wouldn't be there to see it because it takes time to do this, and they'll tell you, you know, you can't observe that. So the question is, where are they? Where are these transitional forms? Well, he knew all about fossils, and he knew they existed. And we know they existed. We have to. We see them. We know they existed. But the thing is, and he acknowledged this, that he could not find a transitional state that got close enough to human beings. In other words, he said it's out there. It has to be. It had to be because he didn't believe in God. It has to be out there, he says, because we have humans and we have monkeys. So therefore, there had to be a transitional state somewhere, but it's in the ground and we just haven't found it yet. It's called the missing link. So his theory said that we would eventually find this missing link. The more geology research that we would do, we would eventually find this missing link. And that's what he staked his life and his reputation on. He staked his eternal life on this too, by the way.
I don't remember who it was. Preacher, I think. But anyway, stated that Darwin, on his deathbed, repented of ever writing those writings.
I've heard the same thing.
I've heard the same thing. We can't prove that. Because I've found documentation that says both ways. I did read this, and this came out of his own writings. He said that, well, actually, I'm getting to it in just a second. Let me go ahead and read that part. That part that Darwin himself wrote. He wrote this. He said, when we descend, now this came out of his own writings. I didn't make this up. Nobody made it up. It came out of his own writings. Darwin wrote, when we descend to details, we cannot prove that a single species has changed. In other words, he couldn't find evidence. He just believed that it had to have happened. Nor can we prove that the supposed changes are beneficial. Remember, I told you it had to be mutated and new and improved. Not all changes are beneficial, which is the groundwork of the theory. He wrote that himself. In other words, he's saying, we believe it happened, we just can't prove it, that any particular species has changed. And he said, And they still can't prove that those changes were beneficial. Now, we all know that children and animals can be born deformed. Now, that's a mutation that is not beneficial. But that can happen. But his whole theory rests on the belief that it would improve over time. Man would get smarter, man would get faster, man would get stronger, for example. And so this is Darwin resting all of his hopes and dreams and eternal life on this particular theory. And he believed that over time that scientists and geologists would eventually unearth all these types of fossils and find these individual transitional forms, and then, lo and behold, evolution would be proved true. But poor Mr. Darwin didn't realize that after 150 years, the opposite was proven. In fact, they found more fossils, yes. They did more digging, yes. They did more cataloging of all these fossils, yes. But they were more widespread. They never got closer to what Darwin thought. Actually, they went further apart. In other words, species were ever more increasing in their differences than in their similarities. Does that make sense? So his whole theory was under the perception that we evolved from something simpler and it made it into a more complex life form like myself, and that we would eventually, over time, find these closer similarities, these missing links, these transitional forms, these states. And so they started teaching this in schools. And this is why I named this message Cause and Effect. What I'm talking about right now is the cause of believing in evolution. And the fact that now it's being widespread teaching in schools. In fact, there are many scientists, the number I heard last was 95% of geologists and sociologists and things like that, anthropology, the study of humans. 95% do not believe in God. They believe in this theory of evolution. Ben Stein, has anybody seen that movie, Expelled? I haven't, but I plan to. Expelled. It's about a documentary about creationist scientists who are creationists. They believe in God and the creation, but they're scientists, and their evidence and their arguments are being smothered, are being held down and just silenced in the academic places and the colleges. I mean, the people who are naturalists are taking over the universities. And so your young people are coming out, if not with the belief, at least with the exposure to evolution and all that it pertains. But in my mind, which, again, I'm a creationist, in my mind, I think it takes more faith. And you might think, well, you don't need faith to believe in evolution. Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do. You have to have faith that life started from nothing. The old question, which came first, chicken or the egg? Everybody in here should know the answer. Chicken. That which is simpler cannot be greater than that which is created, which is the chicken. The chicken had to come first. God spoke it into existence. Now, you had asked one day, it's a joke, and Andy was telling me one time, well, if we evolved from monkeys, then why do we still have monkeys? I researched that this weekend. The idea of modern species doesn't preclude the idea that species die out. They simply say that we all have a common ancestry. In other words, yes, I may have evolved from monkeys, according to these evolutionists, but that doesn't mean monkeys die out. It just means we split. But yet, if you boil everything down and keep, you know how, who, does anybody in here do a genealogy research? I've always wanted to start, but I never have. To go back and find out your ancestors, you know, how far can you go back? Well, I've always wanted to do that. But if you could do that, like Darwin suggests, millions of years ago, ultimately you would come down to me and monkeys and maybe the deer we almost hit this morning, we all came from the same whatever. That's the belief that evolutionists carry. Now, that's why I say it takes a whole bunch of faith. And the Bible tells us that God created each creature after its own kind. Now, I think the Bible is specific in saying those words because you can't crossbreed. Now, we had the discussion about the, what was it, the horse and the mule. Horse and donkey. You can crossbreed a horse and donkey, but what do you get? You get a mule who cannot populate. They can't, so you don't have a beneficial change, as Darwin would say. You don't have a new and improved horse. You do have a mixture. Apparently.
But when Noah built the ark, they went in two by two.
That's right. Male and female. But you have to reject that idea. You have to reject Noah if you're going to be a naturalist. And this is Darwin. Now, I don't want to hang on Darwin too long. We all know about Darwin. But I thought that interesting that even he acknowledged that his theory could have been proven wrong. And of course, I believe it has. Now, he comes from, like I said, he's a naturalist, but naturalist and creationist, they're opposites of each other. But more specifically, there's a type of people, they refer to themselves as materialists. And I don't think that means grabbing everything that you can get. That's not talking about material things in that way. Materialism is a philosophy within the realm of metaphysics that holds that the only thing that can be proven beyond the shadow of a doubt to exist is matter. Now, that's important. Why is it important? The only thing you can prove that exists is what you can see and touch. In other words, am I here? Why, yes. Is God here? Now, we say He is. Can you prove it? Where does that what?
Leave air. You can't see air.
Oh, but you can with technology. But you still can't see God with that with technology. See, that's the thing. They can see matter. They can see... Yeah, right, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, the visible with the eye is one thing, but also even with technology. If they can see atoms, they will acknowledge the atom exists. Even though we can't see it with our eyes. But do you see my point? Only what you can see... And, of course, atoms make up everything else. But you can't see God.
Well, then that totally leaves faith out. I mean, there's no faith if you can see it.
Exactly. That's the difference. And I'm glad you said that because that's the point of it all. It's the faith. In other words, nature is everything. There is no unseen world. Does that remind you of anybody?
Did Jesus say that blessed are they that haven't seen Him?
Right. When he told Thomas, he basically said, you believe now because you have seen, but blessed are those who believe and have not seen.
He used his hand right in, after he was resurrected.
That's right. And he showed.
You that do believe and know he's coming.
That's right. I mean, showed him his nail prints, his spear print.
They cannot believe that. When you die, you have an eternal home somewhere because you can't see the spirit.
That's right.
You'll be gone, so they can't believe an eternal, you're a living being after you die.
So yeah, they only believe in what you can see, and that's it. Judy, you were going to say something?
Well, I was going to say, they would have believed in Jesus. They would not have believed in God.
Right.
Because Jesus was matter. They could see Him.
Right. And they would acknowledge His existence, as people do. People acknowledge that Jesus existed and was a good teacher. Maybe even go so far as to say he was a prophet or a good man. But to acknowledge him as the Son of God, something that you can't see. Well, see, there's a group of people that Jesus even encountered, and also back in Acts 23 and 8, Paul was in a Sanhedrin, and when he realized who he was standing before, he made the statement. He said, I'm here. Basically, I'm on trial because I believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and I'm paraphrasing. in 23 verse 8 of Acts, it says, "For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit. But the Pharisees confess both." So even back in Jesus' time, we had what we call materialists. They didn't believe in an unseen world. You live your life, you die, that's it. Nothing. Nothing happens, and there is no unseen world. What a sad life. So this theory of evolution, even though I spoke so much about Charles Darwin, actually existed. Actually, I said evolution, but naturalism actually existed before Jesus' time. And it even manifested itself in a group of people that ended up becoming very strong rulers of the Sanhedrin called the Sadducees. But yet they believed in no resurrection and no angel. In other words, no ghost, nothing that supposedly is in the spirit world. They didn't believe in any spirit world or any intervention of a spirit world. No, not at all. And yet they became a ruling class. They really did. Handy?
They were around when Solomon wrote about like a beast when you died, you didn't know nothing or couldn't say nothing.
And see, they interpret some of those writings like that. Yeah, yeah, that's a very good possibility. But then you have the Pharisees who confess both. So in Paul's case, when he was in front of this trial, this tribunal, they were about to tear him apart until he realized he just caused an argument. And then all of a sudden the Pharisees were on his side. You know, that's kind of interesting. Yeah.
But Earl, with them not believing in resurrection, they still were there at the time of Lazarus. They were still around when Jesus raised and Jairus' daughter and so forth. So they had to have seen resurrection. So what did that do to their philosophy?
Well, I believe it really put a crimp in their belief system, because one, they wanted to kill Jesus, but they also wanted to kill, even the Pharisees wanted to kill Lazarus too.
Bill could have thought that it was just a beast that he resurrected back up.
That's right. That's right. Well, and even today, people don't believe Jesus died. They call it the swoon theory, the theory that he just fainted.
They want to kill everything that's got the life of Jesus.
See, exactly right. See, now, it's important to know why Lazarus was in the grave 4 days. Does anybody know why four? What's
the killing of babies, like the baby Moses.
And starting to decay, actually.
Right. See, back in that time, the belief system was, even among the Jews and whatnot, that your spirit kind of hung around for 3 days. It's kind of interesting. I think people still believe that. But that your spirit just hung out. You know, your body's there, but it just hung out there for a while, just maybe observing some things, and okay, I might get back in, might not. But the fact that 4 days had done passed, 4 days had done passed, by now the spirit has gone, and by now he's decaying. That's why they said, let's not roll back that stone. It's not going to smell good if we do that. By now he stinks. Well, Jesus, in that miracle resurrection power of Jesus, and he brought Lazarus back, was probably the most, keep in mind, that wasn't the only time he brought back the dead. That was the most significant resurrection ever. Because if you read the scripture right around there, many believed on him at that point. Many. Because
most of them hadn't been dead very long.
No. Most of them, in fact, some of them had just died. They were getting ready to take...
So much done all at once because they were after him.
Yes.
And he had to do so much all at once so they would believe. After he knew he'd be gone, but he said, you can't even stand it now, you can't bury it now. But after the Holy Ghost has come, Pentecost, he said through the Spirit, they would learn them.
That's right. That's right. And that gave them power to witness unto all of these miracles and to perform the miracles. I mean, Peter himself raised the dead. Tabitha, I believe it was, but I could have that wrong. All right, so what's the effect of all this? I mean, we kind of talked at length about evolution and not believing in God and all that stuff, but you can't have such a theory and it be so prevalent in your country and it not have some effect. When you take God out of the equation, when you take faith in a creator out of the equation, what that does, it devalues the unseen. In other words, so what? Okay, you say there's a God. I don't. So it devalues that. You know, you start to think, well, there is no such thing. All right, then what do you base your morality on? Where does your morals come from? Where is it, does your rights start to trample on mine? See, yeah, you start to get into these kind of arguments now, because there are people out there who don't believe the same morals that you do. I mean, we heard this a lot. Who are you to say whether or not abstinence should be taught in school?
Scripture actually don't judge.
Yeah, they'll even quote you that scripture. But they misquote it, because we are told to judge. And we are, basically, we're not supposed to judge people, especially for the same things. In other words, I'm not going to judge anybody's salvation in here. I will look at your fruits. The Bible says you shall know them by their fruits. Well, how are you going to know them unless you make some kind of judgment call? But you have these groups who devalue now human life. I mean, you got people who don't believe in preservation of older people. I'm sorry, I know we have some elderly in this class, but there are people out there who think that you're not a productive member of society.
Be in class. It's time to abort us.
Exactly. That's the other extreme. That's the other extreme, is that, well, I'm not trying to make this into a political discussion, but Sarah Palin, the new VP pick, is coming under fire because she chose to have a baby with Down syndrome. And my friends, we have a special needs person in our own midst. Can you imagine what it would be like without this person? And they're coming under fire because she's coming under fire because she knew in advance that it was a Down syndrome baby, and they preferred her to kill it. I can't imagine that. But you see my point? I mean, she's coming under fire because she knew in advance. But see, they're trying to impose her morale. And so what that does, it lends more to abortion and also to people like this. I want to show this real quick. People like this. This guy, everybody knows him probably by sight. Adolf Hitler. He believed, he was a naturalist, but he applied Darwin's, now see, he read and he took upon himself Darwin's theories and applied it to human socialism. And basically, he specifically was about natural selection, the survival of the fittest. Here he says, in his own words, the stronger must dominate and not blend with the weaker, thus sacrificing his own greatness. He believed that if you were handicapped, kill it. If you were old, kill it. If you were contaminated with some bloodline, kill it.
Especially the Jews.
Well, not just Jews. Jews was one big, big group that he tried to exterminate. But African Americans and other races, if you were contaminated with what he thought was pure blood, kill it. Exterminate it. Survival of the fittest. This is the result, the effect of the theory of evolution. It's not just a theory. It lends an open door for people like him, for people like Stalin, who killed millions of his own people. In other words, it becomes at a point to where you have no regard for human life. We see that in America today. The people don't have any regard for what they want to call a fetus. If you want to have a child, you call it a baby. If you don't want a child, you want to call it a fetus to ease your conscience. And therefore, you can get rid of it without impunity. And our country, God help us, is just feeding into that. And evolution is more than just the theory. It is. We're eat up with this. And we're suffering the consequences of this naturalism thought. But do you see where we've come to, folks?
Yeah, we've hit rock bottom.
I mean, I had a debate. I had a debate, and I know my time's running out. I had a debate with somebody at work one time, and they use the same thing. They say, well, what if that child is raised from a poor family? Well, so I come from a poor family. And I doubtful, I'd say some of you folks have come from poor family. Yes. Yeah. And so. Well, so here their argument was, well, that child should be aborted. If they can't afford to raise it. I said, well, what if? Because it was right at the time when Aaron was born. I said, what if I had been driving home the day Aaron was born and I had a car wreck? And Deronda would be poor. Should we kill it? No, it's already born. What's the difference? Just 24 hours. Just 24 hour difference. It's going to grow up to be important. You just told me that if that baby who has not yet been born is going to grow up in a poor family. See, that was, see how flimsy that excuse was? You can't bring poverty, wealth into the equation because that's not part of it. It's the morality. See, if you start putting a cost on human life, then there goes your overweight people. There goes your elderly. There goes your disabled. And there goes your... Hey, they're wanting to pass laws that if you smoke, you shouldn't get insurance or have health care. Hey, I'm not the one passing these judgments. I'm trying to tell you that there are people who are wanting to make judgment calls on your lifestyle, your behavior, and then pass laws to hinder your access to health care.
And in China, they require that you have only one child because of overpopulation.
Yes, they have so many people now. And there's some countries that if you have a female child, they'll kill it. Yeah. Well, Mr. Hitler, he applied Darwinism to social evolution of human beings. This is where he got the survival of the fittest. He believed in that. And so that was interpreted as requiring racial purity and killing off, and this is his words, life unworthy of life. This is the kind of thought patterns you get if you're a naturalist.
But don't many people feel the same way today?
They do.
Unworthy of life.
People today are passing judgment calls left and right as to who is worthy. Now get that. Who's worthy of Social Security? Who's worthy of disability? And who's worthy of whatever? Do you see what I'm saying? You've got people out here who's making laws and making judgment calls on your lifestyle who probably have not a clue.
Was the guy that laid by the pole 38 years worthy of being here?
Not in their mind.
He'd have been gone a long time before 38 years.
Right. Yeah, they would have thrown him in the water just regardless if they'd believed like Hitler. So, I mean, yeah, we'll put you in the water. Let's go ahead and do it.
Got a big pole over here.
Yeah. Well, hey, I mean, this kind of thought is at the root. And when I say evolution, I'm not talking specifically about evolution. I'm talking about naturalism. This is where nature is all there is. Nature is God to these people. This is what I say. It takes an irrational leap of faith. Well, I got to wrap up here. So let me just read this. In Romans 1, verse 19, it says, this is Paul speaking, because that which may be known of God is manifest or revealed in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, that being understood by the things that are made. See, this is what Darwin missed. The things that are made should have been proof enough to believe in God. Being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, and neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. This is what I mean about naturalism. You have to explain, come up with some explanation as to why God does not exist. You have to come up with something. Oh, yes. And their foolish heart was darkened. And this is where you give rise to people like Hitler and Stalin and hundreds of others who are out there protesting for abortion. And this key verse here, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. So all of these scientists and thinkers and evolutionists and people like that who want, I mean, you would be surprised at the stuff I read last night, the criticism of Christianity simply because we believe in God, how it's utterly ridiculous. But in my book, you have to have way more faith to believe that we came from nothing.
And when you talk about calling people in the ministry, you talk about not many wise, not many noble are called.
That's right. And that's probably why. Because their hearts are already darkened. They think they're wise. Well, thank you for this series. I hope to see you for the next one. We're going to talk about, remember, next Sunday is not, we're not having Sunday school or evening service. So come the following Sunday, we're going to talk a little bit about holy days, Jewish holy days, 2-part message on that series. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this series. I pray, God, that you will awaken us, that you will open our hearts and minds to see what's going on in this country and around the world, to see how life is being devalued. And Lord, wake us up, Lord. Give us a revival in our hearts. Remove that heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh, as it says in Isaiah. And Lord, I pray that you would do it soon, Lord, before it's ultimately too late. We ask in the name of Jesus for his glory, for his sake. Amen. Praise the Lord.